Thank you, Katrina. Well, it's good to see you all this morning. I'd like to add my welcome to that of Alison's. I want to speak for just a few minutes about birth stories, partly. And I'm sure there's all sorts of stories that could be shared here. I don't know if Mario and Laura have got any particular stories of scary or otherwise of the birth of their two lovelies. Thinking about birth stories, I was thinking back to the story of my first son, Sam, being born. And just one thing that I don't think I'll ever live down that my wife, Steph, often reminds me of, that when she went into labour, it was about sort of midnight. And it was back in the days when you used to hire DVDs. Remember those days? Remember that? You had DVD shops like Blockbusters and things like that. And we'd watched the film that night, and it was the early hours, and she said, we've got to get to hospital. And I said, that's brilliant, because the video shop's on the way, so we can drop off the video to avoid getting any late fines. Didn't go down very well, shall we just say. I did actually do that. I did make sure that I dropped it off. I, you know, hate getting fines. There's all sorts of stories, isn't there, of experiences that we've had at different points and at different places with birth stories. And when Jesus talks in this passage to Nicodemus, he's talking really about birth stories. And there are lots of parallels, I think, with the physical birth stories that many of us would have experienced and the spiritual birth stories that Jesus is talking about with Nicodemus. And I think there's lots of resonance between those two things. I think they fall, perhaps this morning, I want to talk just about four different areas that they fall into. The first one is that birth is often messy, isn't it? It is. It's often messy. It can be painful, is the second area. It's a bit mysterious, the third area. And finally, it is joyful. So let's just think for a few minutes about the messiness of birth. I don't want to linger too long on this because we're all respectable people, aren't we? And, you know, we don't want to think about the blood and the gore and all those sorts of bits that come with birth. I know you've just had your breakfasts a little while ago. You sort of see sometimes these Hollywood films, don't you, when a baby is born and they lift up this baby and it's all sort of beautiful and pristine and clean and glowing. Those of us who have been in labour rooms know that that's not how babies come out. They look rather different to that. They are covered in blood, in all that sort of sticky, kind of downy, mucousy stuff that protects the baby when it's in the baby's in the mother's womb. Birth is a very messy business. I'm very pleased to say that none of my children have been born at home. I'm not sure my carpets would have liked it very much. Birth is messy. And the messiness that's talked about often when we talk about birth actually is reflected in the messiness of spiritual birth. Spiritual birth isn't neat and tidy. Spiritual birth is equally messy. And we see that in this encounter with Nicodemus and Jesus. Nicodemus comes to Jesus, and he's got lots and lots of questions. He doesn't understand things. He says, well, how can it be like this? And Jesus says to him, look, you don't understand this. You're supposed to be a teacher. Nicodemus is discovering a new faith in Jesus, but it's messy along the way. Being in the job that I'm in, I often talk to people about faith, and sometimes people say to me, I wish I could have faith, but I've just got too many questions. And I say to them, that's okay. Faith and questioning goes hand in hand. When we become a Christian, it doesn't mean that we switch off our brains. It doesn't mean that we stop asking questions. It doesn't even mean that all of those questions are answered. There's part of faith which means that we have to hold those questions. We have to hold the messiness of faith. We have to search through what can feel like the rubbish dump sometimes to find the treasure within it. There was a story of a place in New Zealand last week that did a beach clear-up. Lots of flotsam, jetsam, all sorts of things washed up on the beach. They collected over 4 tons of rubbish. But within that rubbish, they found some amazing treasure as well. They found in particular this amazing antique gold watch that was still functioning remarkably in the midst of all that rubbish. We have to keep holding the questions, holding the messiness of the birth of faith, and recognize that we're only going to have all the answers when we reach heaven. In the meantime, we hold those questions, but we can have faith and have those questions and live with the messiness. So that's the first parallel between physical and spiritual birth. The second is that birth is painful. Apparently, very painful. So my wife tells me. It was certainly very painful for me when she was digging her nails into my arm in every contraction. But I understand it does hurt. And spiritual birth is also, or can also, be very, very painful. You might have noticed in that passage, there's a little detail that says, Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. Now, why did he come to him at night? Why would John bother writing that detail within the passage? Well, I think it was because Nicodemus was doing it under the cover of darkness. He didn't want people to see what he was doing. He didn't want people to see that he was talking to Jesus, this new religious leader who was causing all sorts of problems. He didn't want his fellow Pharisees and religious teachers to see, to know that he was talking to Jesus and that this new faith might be coming to birth. He was afraid of the reactions he'd get from people around him. He was afraid of being treated differently if people knew he was talking to Jesus. And within our culture, I think that's a very real risk for those of us who have faith. Sometimes when people find out that you have got faith, that you're a Christian, that you go to church, they do treat you differently, don't they? Sometimes people might mock you. They might think that you have switched your brain off. They might think you're a bit thick. There might be all sorts of ways that you get treated differently. Sometimes, even to the case that people have been taken to employment tribunals, have lost their jobs because of their faith and because it had been perceived that they'd spoken of their faith out of turn in a wrong way. There are very real issues with coming to spiritual birth that can be painful. It can mean leaving behind a previous life and entering a new life in Christ. That can be painful. But no matter what we deal with in this country, there are many places around the world whose Christians have much more to deal with. This is an organization called Open Doors, one of our mission partners here at St. Margaret's, who works for advocacy for Christians around the world who face more than just mocking or even losing their jobs or being treated differently, who face real persecution for having a faith. This is a story of a church in Sri Lanka. The leader of a Sri Lankan church destroyed by a 200-strong Buddhist mob have vowed that the church will continue to meet. No attack can stop us, she said. We'll continue to meet and pray under a tree. First they threatened us, then they came with wooden sticks, iron bars and knives, and destroyed everything. People begged the attackers not to damage the place of worship, but the church was destroyed in the attack, leaving the Christian community with nowhere to meet. It's one example of many stories in this magazine about the different things that Christians face around the world. Persecution is very real. Suffering and pain is very real for those who have come to spiritual birth, to spiritual faith. We've just said in this baptism service just now, stand firm to Freddie. Because there will be times, as Christians, where we need to stand firm, where we have to choose the difficult road, the difficult path, to testify to our faith. Faith coming to birth, spiritual birth, can be painful. Messy, painful, mysterious, number three. There's that amazing room, isn't there, in the delivery suite, where there's three or four, or sometimes if you've got a complicated birth, five, six or seven people in that delivery suite. And then the next moment, another person has arrived. First there were three people, then there were four. A new birth, a new child arriving in the world is a remarkable experience to witness. It's quite mysterious, isn't it? There were three people, and then there were four. A person just arrives. This person, this new person, is created and made and arrives in our world. It is remarkable. Within spiritual birth, there is also a mystery to what happens. There's a mystery. We read that spiritual birth is by water and by the Spirit. Those two things are mentioned in John's Gospel, where we've had some of that experience of water this morning already, haven't we? We've seen that water being sprinkled on Freddie. As Alison said, water symbolizes the cleansing But the other things you'll have done with water this morning is probably drink it, whether it's in a cup of tea or coffee or simply in a glass. It brings life. It brings refreshing. So the baptism brings new birth, but it's also the Spirit which brings new birth as well. Hands up if you chose to be born, physically I mean. Hands up if you decided that you were going to be born. No, oh no, me neither. No, we didn't. We didn't get to choose if we were born. It was our parents' initiative. It was all gift to us. And in the same way, we can't make ourselves be spiritually born. The birth is by water and by the Spirit. It is God's gift, God's initiative, which brings our new spiritual birth. We have to choose to say yes to that, which is slightly different. We didn't have to choose to say yes to go down our mother's birth canal and enter the world. We do have to choose to say yes to the spiritual birth that God offers to us. But it's not our initiative. We can't make it happen. It is the mystery of God's grace to us. That spiritual birth is by water and by the Spirit. So it's messy, it's painful, it's mysterious, and finally, it is joyful. That moment of that new baby coming into the world, no matter how messy, how painful, how difficult that labor has been, that moment is still so full of joy, isn't it? It's an amazing moment. And that joy ripples out. You get the phone calls, the Facebook messages, you get the cards come flooding in, the presents. You get Auntie Doris saying, oh, wonderful, doesn't he look like his dad, or whatever it is. There's real joy, both in the family and also in the wider community. And we share that joy here. That joy is first and foremost with the parents. And the spiritual joy that comes from a new spiritual birth is first and foremost with our Father, with God. There's a wonderful story that Jesus tells, a parable of the prodigal son, which I think is at the very heart of our faith. It's a story of a son who asks for his father's inheritance and goes off and spends it on wild living. And then he realizes he's got nothing left. And he decides to go back to his father and to say to him, just make me a servant, make me a slave. I don't deserve to be your son. And he walks back home a long way. And his father's been there looking for him, waiting, watching for him to come. And he sees him in the distance. And he just stands there with his hands on his hips. No, he doesn't do that. He picks up his skirts, because that's what they wore in those days. And he runs towards the son. He picks him up. And he says, bring a ring for his finger. Bring clothes for his back. Kill the fatted calf. We're going to have a party. We're going to rejoice. We're going to celebrate. Because this son of mine was lost and he's found. He was dead and now he is alive. That's the rejoicing that comes when we come to spiritual faith and spiritual birth. Jesus says, there's more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 who don't. The joy is from the Father when we come to him, when we come to that spiritual birth. But the joy is also the wider family. And as a church, we rejoice when people come to spiritual birth. We rejoice when people come to Christ and come to life. Of course, the truth is that labors vary, don't they? I'm sure we could, if we went round, we could have all sorts of stories about how simple or complicated different people's labors were. For some people, a friend of mine who gave birth on her kitchen floor because she couldn't get to hospital in time. It was, you know, baby was out like that. Reading about another lady who had a 75-day labor. The ladies amongst us are sitting thinking, oh! She was pregnant with triplets and they were being born prematurely and the doctors needed to try and slow down that labor and stop it from happening. She spent 75 days lying on her back with her legs raised, being given medication to try and slow that labor down. That's a long labor. Now, normally, when you talk about your children or when you talk about yourself, you probably don't spend very much time talking about their birth stories, do you? Now, you might share it sometimes, but it would be a bit strange if the only way I ever spoke about my children was to tell about the time they were born. I want to share what they're doing now. I want to share what's happening in their life now. Again, it would be a bit strange if I only ever talked about myself being born. You know, I want to talk about the things which are going on in my life now. Just as each of us has got different stories of labor in the physical sense, each of us will have different spiritual birth stories. For some of us, it would have been very quick, like my friend. We'll have known a moment where actually we sense God's presence and we have to come to him and we know we are new. We've had a new birth, a fresh beginning. For others of us, it might be more like that 75-day labor, a really long and difficult wrestling with questions and a bit of forwards and a bit of backwards. And we might not be able to put an instant moment and say, this is when I became a Christian, this is when I was born again. It doesn't matter about our birth stories. What matters is the now. What matters is whether we have embraced that life now. It's a gift. It's not our initiative. One of the most famous verses in the whole Bible was in that reading. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's the gift of the Father. That's the gift he holds out to each one of us this morning. Some of us have accepted and embraced that gift. For some of us, it's a gift that is still there, ready and waiting for us to receive. There's more rejoicing in heaven over the one who turns to him, the one who repents, than the 99 who don't. There's already a party in heaven today with Freddie being baptized this morning. Let's see if there can be a party in heaven this morning about us coming to Christ and embracing and accepting that new life, whether that's for the first time this morning or for the 101st time. Let's come to him and receive and grow and change. Would you like to stand with me? I'm just going to pray for us as we think about our own spiritual births, as we think about where we are in that spiritual journey. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the gift of birth, for the gift of life. Lord, we know that it's not always straightforward. We know it can be messy. We have still, all of us, questions about you. We know it can be painful. There are things we have to leave behind, things we have to stand up for, friendships and family that might change because of our faith. Lord, we know it's mysterious. That it's your initiative, your gift that brings us to birth. And we know it's joyful. We pray, Lord, that you will be having a party in heaven today. But we open ourselves up to receive that joy that comes with new birth, with new life. Just in a moment of silence, if you've never had that opportunity before to say yes to that gift of life, to that gift of new birth with Christ. All prayer is reaching out to God, speaking to him in whatever words, either in your head or out loud, that you use in ordinary conversation. He's there as your Father, waiting and ready to embrace you, to give you a new start, new life, and to walk with you. So reach out to him now. Thank you, Lord. Amen.